as I said, lead. That means that we want you to sing. Key of A flat. I just feel this on my heart, and I'd like to, for us all to make it a prayer, really. And you know, you can sing a prayer.
Yes.
After all, a prayer is an expression of one's
yes.
heart and soul to God, whether it's in a song or whatever. And we're going to ask you to, you know it, or have heard it. No, I'm not going to sing Amazing Grace now. We sang that probably, well, we'll sing it for one time before it's over, but the key of A flat.
I need thee, Lord, I need thee, every hour I need thee, Lord, bless me now, my Savior. I
up while the Spirit of the Lord is stirring our heart. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, that New Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wonderful Lord. Wonderful Lord. We praise thee. Hallelujah. 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 Wonderful, wonderful Master. We praise and we adore thee, Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, my Lord. Amen. We thank you, my Lord. We thank you, my Lord. You feel the sweet presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's wonderful to feel him. It's wonderful to know him. Thank you, my Lord. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Let this presence be upon your life. Let him bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you, my Lord. We thank you, my Lord. We thank you, my Lord. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We appreciate the Lord. Can we say amen? This morning in Bible study, it was so wonderful to have Brother Armstead in a Bible study. Can we say amen? It was good to have him. I felt the Lord in the Sunday school Bible study. And we got to talking, and we might have got a long way. We couldn't get a long way from our subject because it was the coming of Jesus and everything. Almost in the gospel points to the coming of resurrection, the coming of Jesus. And we really enjoyed a Sunday school, and it was worth it, amen. So we're going to turn the service without any more word to him. And I'm so glad that he obeyed the Lord. This is what we want him to do. Can we say amen? Amen. At any time, when you get started, Brother Armstead, and God begins to move, don't feel that you have to take time to say, well, hand it back to me. You just keep the service, go right on. Can we say amen? Let's obey the Spirit of the Lord, and I'm quite sure that we'll all go away knowing it was good to come to the house of the Lord. We desire your prayers. I'd like to testify. Yes. I'm glad that 1955, June, this month of 1955, Jesus saved me from my sins. Hallelujah. I repented. I found the Lord at a little mission front or storefront mission, and I found Jesus, and he's been the same. There's been times that I have grown bitter in my heart. I've went sour. I've not stayed sweet, as the old-timers would say. But Jesus didn't change. And soon he reflected, and I saw myself, and I had to say, Lord, forgive me. Amen. Lord, forgive me. And I appreciate the Lord tonight and all that he's done for us. What he's going to do, can we say amen? What he's going to do and what we can feel in our hearts and our lives. Amen. We desire your prayers. We're small, Brother Armstead, and we hope that you're not looking for a big crowd. We hope you get we get that. But we are glad that you can understand, I believe you can, that we're just young and we're trying to do something for the Lord. And we'd like for everybody just to come as faithful as you can to these services, and it'll do you good. Amen. It'll do us all good. And just drink it up. And we desire the prayers of Brother Armstead and Sister Armstead. Can we say amen? Even after this is over, if God doesn't come before it ends and they leave, we need their prayers that God would help us and move. I thought about Carla. I prayed, Lord, let her to not be afraid to try on the piano. And she just, there's a lot of mistakes, but she just started. Yeah. But somebody's got to start. Somebody's got to do. And just, Lord, help her to do. And help me to be, amen, reasonable with her and try to help her along. Can we say amen? We've just been haltered and hemmed up so long for this and that. It's just time we do something. Can we say amen? As much as we know how to do it, and we need the prayers of everyone. God bless, Brother. Onset as he comes. Take your liberty in the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thankful for his presence tonight. I would like to say just a few words before we begin the subject tonight that we have on our heart. Relative to the coming week of studies, I do feel especially on our hearts that the Lord will bless a series of searchings from the book of Romans, because I found in it some a greater part of the needs of the present-day church, and we're going to ask you to make it make a special effort to be at every service, if at all possible. And we're going to be dealing with the Bible studies from Monday through Saturday night, and on Sunday we'll have another Sunday before we bring it to a close. We'll have trust that the Lord will lead us in whatever direction that will be blessed for that particular day. The reason of that, I'm hoping that some other of God's children, other than this assembly, will be coming to the Bible studies, and they can come during the week and then not miss anything if they come in going to their church on Sunday. And one thing that I would like to ask, now I know the crowd is small, but I'm used to preaching to a small crowd. I preach to small ones and large ones too. But I'm going to request this, if it is in the mind of the Lord or my own intentions. Brother John is going to fix us an easel for our blackboard, and we'll be setting it down here. And I'd like for us, as we get into the Bible study, to sit like we did this morning, right? Skip this first bench, because I'll be down between the pulpit and the first bench in our Bible study, and I'll be putting portions of our lessons and outlines of our lessons on the blackboard. But begin at the second bench and fill up these benches here and come close together. I found it much easier for me. I don't know whether it's much easier for you. If the crowd is small, I like to have them close together where I won't have to be speaking over the house. I like to get down where I can look at the people in their eye and talk to them right out of my heart. And we will be searching the book of Romans. I don't believe just calling it a Bible study will justify it, because of the traditional acceptance of Bible study is, we meet together and we try to decide which interpretation is right for what. But we want to look at the book of Romans as a whole. I'm going to be showing you what I have discovered in it, the various divisions that deals with the need of this church. Now, I haven't been here and I don't know, but I know that God's people need this. And I believe that you're God's people. So we're going to ask that you make a special effort to come, and do bring you a notebook and a pencil so that you can set up the divisions. Now, tomorrow night will be the first lesson in the book of Romans. We'll be dealing with the writer and the people to whom it was written to. We'll be dealing with his introduction and his declaration before he reaches and opens the subject which he was moved to write the book of Romans for. Book of Romans, we'll find a number of things about it that possibly you haven't discovered heretofore. Because the reason I say that, because I went along some 35 years before I discovered some of the things that we hope to be pointing out in the book of Romans. And it's not just another time to sit down and discuss, read a verse and decide that it may mean this or may mean the other. It's something I hoped that we can discover the message that was burning in the apostle's heart when he sat down to take his pen and felt the inspiration move through him to write that message. It wasn't because he didn't have anything to do, but because God moved on him, in him on a message. And I believe with all of my heart, if all of God's people could comprehend and grasp the message that Paul wrote to the book of Romans and put it in practice, there would be a flow of fellowship among God's people that the Christian world has not known since the early days of the Pentecostal outpouring at the day of Pentecost. And make a special effort to bring your neighbor. They don't have to belong to this church. We're not going to take a doctrinal club and beat them over the head, and we're not going to preach to or teach to any of you who come from a pedestal and look down. But these things that we feel that God has helped us to discover in this marvelous and great book that we will be studying is things that all of us need. And if we can grasp them, I don't care how long you have known the Lord, it doesn't matter how long you've known the Lord or how recently you've found him. There are things in there that will bless your soul, and you'll be a better prepared Christian to fill your place as a Christian if you can comprehend just a part of the things that we hope to be discovering. Now, in tonight's lesson, you know, most of the times, all of us preachers have a habit of saying, I want to share some things with you that I have on my heart. And since we're not getting into our course of studies and searchings tonight, I'm going to take this opportunity to share some things with you that I have on my heart. And some of the things are very close, and they are challenging and stirring my soul, especially relative to the things, to the day and age in which we live, and things that we see fulfilling in our day. If you want to name the subject tonight, I would present the title of The Setting Sun, or The Biblical Signs of the End of This Age. Now, I'm not saying that merely to attract or to find what we might call an appropriate heading. I believe there are biblical signs. There are signs in the world today that are fulfilling biblical prophecy that tell us the day and age in which we live. And in that, I believe the sun is setting in the western horizon on the age in which you and I are living. And we were, this may be sort of a kind of a scrambled egg affair because we don't want to hold you too long, but we do want to let you know tonight that what we do for God, I believe with all my heart that it is, we don't have as much time as we have had in the past. I'm not saying that just to be saying. I believe that we're entering into a phase of the fulfillment of the scripture, that things can happen so fast before us that there is a danger of us not being ready. And somebody said, well, you may just be, it may be an idea theory. If it is, Jesus had the same idea and theory. Do you know that? Jesus had the same idea and theory, because he talked to his disciples about this very thing 2,000 years ago, or almost that long, 2,000 years ago. I'm going to read to you first from 2 Peter chapter 3, and we will read possibly 13 verses. It's not usually that we read a long scripture reading, but tonight we're going to choose to do so because I don't see any of these verses that we can leave out as we try to share these things with you in tonight's subject. Peter said in the third chapter of 2 Peter, beginning with the first verse, he said, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by a way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets." Now, he was speaking about things that the holy prophets had spoken of, and he said, "I want to, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first." Now, here he makes an emphatic declaration. He said, "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust, and say, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation." Now, if there was no other given sign in the scripture but this one sign, it would be enough to alert us that something is about to happen, because people are actually literally fulfilling this scripture right now. They are saying, where is the promise of his coming? 20 years ago, or a little longer than that, a preacher friend of mine visited me while I was pastor in North Little Rock, Arkansas. And he said, "Brother Armstead, how long have you been preaching?" And I said, well, at that time, I've been preaching a little over 20 years. And I said, about 20, 21 years. He said, "Did you, in the beginning of your ministry, did you ever preach on the second coming of the Lord?" And vividly and immediately, I recalled that I was standing on the street corner in Italy, Texas, in front of the bank in a street service as a 16-year-old boy, and I was asked to preach for that few minutes there on the street, and I remember talking about the day of the Lord and the coming of the Lord. And I said, yes, I've been preaching on. And he said, did you know you've been preaching it all this time and the Lord hasn't come yet? He used that, you know, as a matter. And he said, are you still going to continue to preach it? I said, more than I ever have before. And I believe that now, 21 years later, or 22 years later, we can, since I talked to this brother, the things that the holy prophets have spoken about, we are seeing fulfilled before our eyes, and it ought to challenge us to obey what the Lord said in the 24th chapter of Matthew when he is speaking to his disciples, when he said, watch and pray. And then he also said, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. For this they are willingly ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, the earth standing out of water and in the water, whereby the world that then was overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men.
Yes,
in other words, the Apostle Peter said, the world was destroyed in water and it was overflowed with water in Noah's day, but God has preserved the world unto the, reserved it unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. This world in which we live is going through a renovation of the fiery judgments of God. And I want to say with all sincerity and with no reservations that I believe that we are approaching that day of the fiery judgments of God. It's possible that we may be dealing farther with this subject next Sunday or next Sunday night, but we know that that is approaching us, and we are much closer, not just merely 24 hours closer, but we're closer because the scripture, the words of the holy prophets have been spoken, and even the words of Jesus have been spoken, and we see these things coming to pass. And Jesus spoke in his day. Don't I have a right? Doesn't Brother Williams have a right? Doesn't another preacher have a right? Not only right, but a responsibility to tell people that the day is approaching. Jesus warned them in his ministry that it was approaching. Here, he said in the 8th verse then, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Now, don't think by that one time that you and I are to throw away the calendar. If you'll notice the words of the apostle here, he said one day is with the Lord. He didn't say that one day is with us as 1,000 years. If wife hasn't put it up somewhere, she has a picture that was made of me. My mother made the picture in her lifetime. It was the year I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost when I was 16 years old. Well, that's been a few years ago. If you, about 43, is that right? No? Not hardly. Almost, though. Almost 43. But if you look at that 16-year-old picture, and then you look at me, you'll find that one day makes a difference when you add a few of them together. That's what I'm trying to say. But with the Lord, Brother Johnny, with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years.
Yeah.
And then 1,000 years is as one day.
Yeah.
Do you know when the Lord heard about old Herod, and the Lord said, go and tell that fox. That's the first time that he said, I'm going to do this today and tomorrow, and the third day I'll be perfected. Did you know the dawning of the third day is upon us? With the Lord, because he was speaking as the Lord. It was with the Lord.
Yes.
A day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. And The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. This is a convincing sign and evidence and proof that the world is not going to be too much concerned about certain prophetic scriptures that were written 2,000 or 2,500 or 3,000 years ago. But here the Lord's, Peter said under divine inspiration, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and listen to the words.
Yes.
Let me stop before I read it. Who was Peter before, or what was Peter's occupation before the Lord called him? He was a fisherman. And it is rather commonly accepted that fishermen are in the, you don't have to have a college degree to be a fisherman. You have to have a strong back, maybe a weak mind. It is said of Peter and John that they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant. But what I'm trying to say, he as a fisherman, he was not a chemist. He knew nothing about elements. Until the explosion of the first atomic bomb, men searching the physical world in which we live separated, classified, and identified the 92 elements that make up the material world in which we live. There was only 92 until the explosion of the first atomic bomb. And they were elements.
Yes.
They were elements. Now, I know we call the elements the storm winds and the sunshine. But that is not the proper word to describe it. The elements is the substance out of which the universe is built. And here, Peter, under his inspiration, he couldn't have said it any other way. He had no knowledge of what man in his ingenuity and inventive genius would find and develop. He didn't know that out in the year of 1941 or 40, the nations or the world would go to war, and the chemists of the world would begin to deal with the elements and develop from the elements of what was called what we know of as the atomic bomb. The elements of the material realm in which we live, as we said, are 92. The first and the lightest of these elements is hydrogen. That is the lightest of the known elements. And then the heaviest of these is uranium. And it so happens that man has begun on both ends of the cattle, so to speak, and they've took the elements first of the uranium, which is the heaviest of all elements of material substance, and they developed a weapon that generates an intense heat. And then after doing that, they took that and made a trigger out of it and invented out of the hydrogen elements a bomb which was triggered by the heavy element that developed the hydrogen bomb. And the combination of these generates the heat, something similar to that in the very core of the sun. And here was a fisherman, what I'm trying to tell you. Here was a fisherman. And he wasn't writing of what he learned in college and that which he obtained through going through the schools of learning. But under divine inspiration, he made this declaration without any reservations when he said, but the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. I don't know whether you are prophetically aware of the fact or not, but it is a prophetic truth and can be proven by the scriptures that such mass destruction that is generated by heat of these weapons that are the result of man's ingenuity and inventive genius that will create the most intense heat that has ever been generated here upon the earth. I recall that I read and followed very closely the development of the first news of the atomic bomb. I read it with deep interest, and I recall some of the things that were said, that when the first atomic bomb was exploded in the New Mexico desert, men knew that if it worked, they had developed what was called a secret weapon and a master weapon, and what they thought would be the ultimate weapon of destruction. And they erected on the sands of New Mexico a steel tower. And on this steel tower, this first atomic bomb that was exploded, and the first explosion that man had ever seen of atomic matter, was hoisted to the top of this so that it could explode above the earth. And this steel structure was set in reinforced concrete so that it would be stable. And having a desire to discover what had been discovered, they invented instruments that would register intense heat without being destroyed, and encase them in case-hardened steel and lock them on that tower. They hoped to, after igniting this new explosion, if it didn't work, it'd be a dud. If it did work, they felt they'd have an answer that would produce a weapon that could bring a quick end to World War II, and such a instrument they actually developed, because the explosion of two bombs brought the Japanese to the knees and brought them to the peace table. But when they strapped this instrument, hoping to preserve it, yet at the same time register the heat, Oppenheimer, who died just a few, not very many months ago, was there as known the father of the atomic bomb. They assembled everything, was in his under his supervision. And they built reinforced concrete bunkers with heavy bulletproof and thick glass that would, they could peer out through that glass and see the explosion. And this was located some mile and a half or about a mile from the center of the explosion. And they said that this was relatively a small one, and they thought that they were in the safety zone. But in order to take precautions, and men who were allowed, the newsmen who were allowed to come and look on, they were given instructions to go farther back and get in bunkers that were provided, and to put at the detonation moment to put on colored glasses and not dare to look at the explosion through the naked eye for fear that it would burn their eyes out. Evidently, if they had thought about what Zechariah said in the 14th chapter in the 12th verse, it said the weapons that the Lord will fight with Jerusalem at that time, said their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and the meat shall consume away on their bones while they're yet standing. That is what man was actually triggering and tampering with. Well, at the given time, when the countdown was come, Oppenheimer looked out through that heavily coated glass with colored glasses on. He was though he was in a dark room, but he knew if it worked, it would produce a flash, and he could see. And when the zero count was reached, it detonated and exploded. And they saw the flash, and they saw the mushroom as it built up out of that desert and bellowed into the sky and began to anvil out on top of like a summer storm cloud. And they watched it during that time. And when the debris was cleared away, they sent men with special clothing in. They were anxious to find some of those instruments that had been stationed and anchored there near the explosion. And you know what happened when they got there? They didn't find one piece of that reinforced concrete.
They didn't find one piece of that steel structure. But the desert floor and the hole in which was anchored there, the sand was fused together into a bluish green glass and run like water out across the desert. The men interviewed Mr. Oppenheimer and said, "Now, since you know that it is a reality and that it can work, it can be reproduced, no explosion has ever been," said, are you fearful of what might take place in tomorrow?" Mr. Oppenheimer said, "Literally, I am shaking in my boots. I don't know." One commentator, when he was allowed to write his story, he made this declaration. He said, "I have been privileged to witness what probably the last living creature on earth will ever see." What he meant by that? This explosion was so powerful in its minute particle that man now had discovered the secrets of the universe, and they saw that greater things could be done. And this old Apostle Peter, a fisherman, and didn't know what chemist was, but you know, Brother A.D., he had the anointing of God's Holy Spirit, and when he said the elements shall melt with fervent heat, he was not speaking of his own knowledge, but he's speaking by divine inspiration, and that which God has declared will surely take place. And we are nearing that time. "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up, seeing that all these things shall be dissolved. What manner of person ought we to be in all holy conversation, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall dissolve, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness." Now, someone mentioned about being glad, I believe wife mentioned this morning about being glad that she was alive on this day. This is a glorious day, saints. This is a glorious day for God's people. Brother Williams, with your permission, may I speak my conviction to this little assembly of people here relative to what I feel God has really quickened our hearts. Now, I couldn't call you by name. I couldn't, I could call you by name, but I'm speaking to you as a group. You know, the Spirit of the Lord searcheth out all things, even the deep things of God. And I want to tell you, and I trust that God has made it possible for us to come. Now, the small crowd, of course we'd like to see the benches full, but the small crowd will not disturb me if this little group of people will come with their open ears to hear the Word of God. But we're deviating from our subject a little, and I want to tell you what I feel that the Spirit has quickened to my life. There is a spirit of defeatism in this little city.
Yes.
Now, I'm not recommending it for it. The reason that I feel it in my spirit and soul, there is a feeling of defeatism. You're wondering whether or not. Listen, the Lord can start a fire in Lost Virginia.
Yes.
If he can find just a few people. It doesn't have to be a large group.
Yes, it's true.
Just a few people that will reach out and take a hold of God and not look at surrounding circumstances. Amen. Don't be
Don't think that I am pointing an accusing finger. I know what it means to be defeated. Because in my own experience, many times, I have felt the spirit of defeat. I've almost felt like that it'd be good just to lay down and forget it. But brother, when I come into his holy presence, and when I can lift my voice out of my heart, not just for words' sake, but out of my heart, and come into the throne room of God and say, I need thee. I need thee. And I can feel the moving of God's Holy Spirit in my life. And feel the stirring of his spirit. I know that God is still on the throne. Listen. Those of us in the body of Christ who go down with the spirit of defeatism will never reach the high calling rapture of God. We must be up and stirred and moved. We're living in momentous times. I don't believe. Can you imagine? Let us go back almost 2,000 years. Let us go back to Bethlehem when the shepherds were keeping their watch over the flock by night outside of the city of Bethlehem. Let us go back there and try to live again with those shepherds as they were gathering their flock together to keep watch over by night. And all at once, there was illuminating light of a star overhead. You know what they did? For fear, they fell to the ground. For fear. And out of the heavenly light, they heard a voice saying, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ our Lord. Did those shepherds feel defeated after that message? They said one to another, let us go and see this thing which has taken place. You know, Brother Williams, they didn't say, let us go and see if it has taken place. Said, let us go and see this which has taken place. I want to tell you. Somebody said, oh, that was the day when prophecy is being fulfilled. Did you know, folks? We are living in a day when prophecy is being fulfilled.
Yes, amen.
Before
amen.
Our very eyes. And not only prophecy is being fulfilled, but it's prophecy that has been declared to take place at the close of the Gentile age, which is the church age.
Yes.
We're living in that day.
Yes.
Saints of God, don't let the devil slip a spirit of defeat. Claim the victory.
Yes.
Bless God on the authority of God's word. Walk out by me. I know what it means to have just a small attendance here and there. But brother, we've got a great big God. And did you know? God has no restraint in the war. He doesn't fight with many of our few, but by his spirit. Let us anchor our feet in him and look up, because the day of the Lord. He said the day of the Lord here would come as a thief in the night. But may I read to you another scripture from the pen of the Apostle Paul. This is in the 5th chapter of 1 Thessalonians, beginning with verse 1. Of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon the woman with the child, and there shall be there, and they shall not escape. But ye brethren are not in the darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Bible-believing people, Bible-searching people, people who believe that the Bible is the Word of God, people who believe that God is alive. Let me tell you, before God destroyed the world with water before, Noah found grace in his sight, and he said, build an ark of gopher wood. Before God permitted the fire to come down upon Sodom and Gomorrah and destroy the cities, the heavenly conversation and order was, shall we do this without telling our servant Abraham? And the angel of the Lord went down to tell him. Let me tell you, last Monday morning, we preached for Brother Riley in Hot Springs Sunday night, and we mentioned a few of these scriptures, and I made some statements which I probably repeat tonight. And we had rather a hectic week, and we were sleeping a little late, and I told wife, I believe I'll turn on the television. I hope you don't church me, but actually I did. I turned on the television to watch you, watch the news. That was in the motel room. And as we heard the newscast telling what was happening in the Middle East, and the war was in full play, and the armies of Israel was making inroads in the Gaza Strip, and they were fighting in the streets of Jerusalem. Now, I'm speaking the truth out of my heart. I'm telling you, there's something that, not because of the war, not because of the war, there was something that went through me.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother A.D., I begin to feel, Lord, I wasn't alive when the shepherd was on the hills of Galilee, but I'm alive.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And the things that you said are about to take place. I've said in the last sermon that I preached, and I can repeat it with all sincerity. I actually, wife will witness the statement. I said, if I turn on the news after I leave this service, and I hear for some reason, of course, I didn't know just how close the Middle East war was coming, and I hear that the nation Israel has gone back into old Jerusalem, and has occupied Mount Moriah, as soon as it is generally accepted that that mountain belongs to Israel, I said, I can watch for the rapture of the overcomers at any given moment and the close of the church age. I believe that. Amen. Somebody said, well, it'll all blow over. Brother, God's word will never fail. Amen. We're living in the closing days of the Gentile age. The church age is about ready to close. Negotiations and peace. Keep your eyes tuned around the debate in the UN and the settlement. Israel made the declaration, and when I heard that news after we came on and was teaching the adult Bible class in the Vacation Bible School with Brother Marvin Thomas at Jacksonville, there the news was that we have returned to Jerusalem. And we'll never depart again.
Amen.
You know what? Jesus said, when you see these things begin to come to pass, then lift up your heads.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Rejoice. The redemption, your redemption draws
nigh.
Now when I hope you don't feel that I am pointing an accusing finger at you. But did you know it is in this age that there is a tendency for God's people to hold their heads down.
Yes.
And so to speak, weep at the wailing wall. But Brother Johnny, we've seen enough that should stir our hearts,
yes,
set our souls on flame. No! visionary out of every one of us, bless God. Take advantage of the remaining time that's before us, because the end is near. The day of grace will close with the Gentile age. Now I know there's lots of things that we possibly don't understand about the closing of one dispensation and the other. And there is lots of traditions that have been handed down to us. But for that reason, we ought to be challenged to search the Word of God to discover the truth.
Yes,
because the Scripture said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I know what it means to have the fire of evangelism burning in your heart. I know what it means to get sand in your shoes. When the plum trees begin to bud and the blackberries begin to bloom in the spring of the year, I couldn't hardly wait, Brother Johnny, until I got out somewhere with an axe and built an old brush armor down at the forks of the road. 35 or 40 years ago. But you know, now one of the great needs that I feel, and that is that God's people needs to meet together to search out the truth of God and study the Word of God, what it teaches, that we might unite ourselves together. You know how Israel with 2.5 million people stood off and literally crushed 100 million people? It is because they were united as one man. They were united, and because it was God's time, that's it, is united. Well, listen, Brother Johnny, I believe it's time for God's people to unite. Why, this little group of people can join hands together and unite in the fear of God. Amen. And we can claim victory in the name of, why not, for what we have done, because we can do nothing. Amen. Who is Paul or who is Apollos? Paul planted and Apollos waters, but it's God, Brother A.D., that gives the increase. God can set the world, the church world, on fire. Get us ready! The rapture of the overcomers is drawing near. I'd like to... I don't want to hold you too long, but there's a few more scriptures I'd like to call your attention to. We may just repeat these, not verbatim, but in Matthew 16, 1 and 3 and 4, or 1, 2, 3 and 4, we are quoting from that section of scripture. Jesus said you can look out and tell when it's going to be foul weather, it's going to be fair weather. But he said, can you not discern the signs of the time? Can you not discern the signs? Can't you look and see? Can't you look and see? What have we got to go by about the signs of the time? I'll tell you, believe that God's Bible is wholly inspired. Holy men of old were moved by the Holy Spirit to write. Look at it and read it, and then say, Lord, when this takes place, then I'll know. Because this is what it said. You may not be aware of the fact, but did you know when Jesus was born, of course, many of the Jews rejected him. You know the reason they rejected him? Brother Williams, they didn't know what the Word of God said. They didn't know what the Word of God said. There were many of them that accepted him. There were a few that accepted him because they were in tune and ready to understand the Spirit if they didn't understand the letter of the Word. So we should be able to discern the signs of the time. And when Jesus called his disciples about it, in the 24th chapter of Matthew, and he told them about the certain things that is going to take place, and when he had separated and his disciples came and sat down, and he sat down with them and taught. You know, it's a strange thing to me that so many of us Holy Ghost people don't like Bible preaching. Yeah. And did you know that was what Jesus did?
Yes.
He just taught. There's very few... there's very few times that you find him, even when he went in the synagogue, he read the scripture and taught from the scripture.
Yeah.
He brought his disciples around him and taught them, saying, and then they said, Lord, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Three questions. And Jesus, in the following verses of the 24th chapter of Matthew, proceeded to answer those three questions. Do you know what he said first? When he began to teach them, do you know what he first told them?
He said, pay me, lest no man deceive you. That no man deceive you.
In other words, he said that one of the signs would be the day of deception.
I can tell you, folks, we're living in that day now.
There is deception. I'm not speaking about the deception out in the world. I'm talking about deception within the name of churchianity. There is deception in the world today. Rank, strong deception. And it grieves my heart to come face to face with some of the deception. And knowing that so many people are deceived. And I'll tell you, it not only grieves my heart, but it lets me realize that maybe I haven't performed my responsibilities and duties right by warning people of that deception. Thank you, son. Just give you a little example, and don't think, I'm not clubbing any effort that's put forth by the cause of God. But I want to give you some of the examples that have come under my personal observation. We heard a radio preacher out of Houston, Texas, and he was preaching to the people and over the air and presenting his program, and he said, now I want you to help keep this on the air. And he said, now each one of you that sends me a donation to help keep this on the air, I tell you what I intend to do. I'm going to send you the miracle package. Or in other words, I'm going to send you a package full of miracles.
Yeah.
You know, I said, well, they've got beans, peas, and okra, and corn on deep freeze. And you can buy it by the package. Or two packages for a little better price. But is it true that men are being deceived and that they can put miracles in a package?
Yes.
I'll send you a mustard seed. One of them said, I'll send you a red string that you can tie around you and lose weight.
Yes.
And did you know?
No.
They keep those things. Now, I'm not one time saying that God does not work miracles. But he don't wrap them up in cellophane. Amen. Miracles is a result of the faith of that believing soul that has touched the soul of God. And God wants to perform. And let me tell you, saints, if we unite ourselves together in the fear of God, we can see more miracles than what we see. God is more than able, and he wants to confirm his word today with signs following. I trust that I haven't disturbed anyone by mentioning those things. Somebody said, yes, preachers are against this and preachers against that. Listen, I'm against anything that's not in harmony with the word of God.
Yes, amen.
And I believe that the Spirit of God that is working will be. God has declared these things, and we can see them come to pass in our day. And he said not only would there be deception, but there is a worldwide political move in the land that was spoken of 600 years on the other side of the cross that's being fulfilled today. God showed this to Nebuchadnezzar in a dream when he let him see the image. And he saw the world political leaders. Beginning with Nebuchadnezzar, he named every world leader. Even before it came to pass, that is, he named them in their respective positions. And he came down to the bottom, or to the feet of that image, and he said, this will be a mixture of people. Said, men will mix or mingle themselves together, but he said, they will not cleave one to another. I've never been to the UN, but through the medium of television, I sat in the Secretary of the Security Council and heard men representatives of heads of state lambast and slander nations in order to cast reflections and to hurt. They mingled and mixed, but they didn't cleave one to another. Did you know what the Lord said would take place in that day? He said, in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. So we can expect that. We've seen the other come to pass. How is it that Daniel, by inspiration, could have named the world powers in succession and the manner in which they come if it had not been by divine inspiration? He told Nebuchadnezzar, said, you're the head of gold. And he said, the next world power after you will be a divided into the right and the left arm of this image, but they will stay united together. That's just exactly what happened. History tells that. You don't have to take an interpretation from a preacher reading the Bible and presenting an idea theory. History tells us it was the Medes and the Persians that overthrew Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. And then Daniel said that dual kingdom of the Medes and the Persians would be overthrown and the world would be consolidated back into one body. That's exactly what happened. It was Alexander the Great who destroyed the Medes and the Persians and brought the world back under a one world government. Then he said the legs were legs of iron. It was the kingdom of iron in pagan Rome and in papal Rome that the kingdom was divided in. It's there for you. It's on the pages of history. These are things. But then he said the feet was a mixture of kings, and said in that mixture there would be a nations that would be strong as iron. Isn't that true? When you look at mighty Russia, the United States, and then the second-rate world powers of Britain and France, and there is the rumblings in the Far East of a sleeping giant of communistic China coming to life. Somebody said China's not in the United Nations. You mark what I tell you. I'll crawl just as far out on the limb as you would care for me to go. China will become a member of the United Nations. Did you know that the United Council of Churches have already petitioned our government to admit China a seat in the United Nations? It will become. God has foretold these things. Of course he spoke of them briefly and in symbolic language. But I believe with the Spirit of God and with a hungry heart for the searching of the truth that God will reveal these things to us. Then Daniel, after dealing with the political kingdom, he dealt with the progressive world in which we live. And he said, men shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. And he said, this will be at the time of the end.
Yes. Yes.
Did you know that that's what's taking place in our day?
Sure.
The world's knowledge in every field of endeavor has increased more in the 20th century than all the recorded time of history in the years that are past. In this 20th century alone, in 1950, H.B. Kaltenborn wrote a book on the fabulous 20th century, and he said that more things have been developed for the betterment of and the peaceful uses as well as the destructive weapons of warfare in this 20th century than all the rest of the world before. It's before us. We're living in that progressive age. Can you imagine? While we're speaking here, Roger here is taking, if it picks up and be walking around here, Roger, he's taking this down. Can you imagine how that goes down on tape and it's reproduced and come back? Why, that would have been, you could take one of these into the jungles of Africa and have them to chant and say one and have them speak their own language and play it back, and they'd take to the woods like scared goats. Because they didn't know anything about it. But this world in which we live in is a progressive age. What is it? Sign that man is getting
wiser and saying that we're living in a marvelous day, but you...
The rise and fall of the nation Israel is one of the indelible signs. The Lord told Israel when he gave them the law, said, if you fail to keep the law, said, I'll scatter you to all the nations of the world. But he said, remember, I'm going to gather you back into the land of your fathers. Amen. That happened in our day. On the 14th day of May in 1948, as the clock reached the midnight hour, Ben-Gurion stood and made the declaration, a new nation has been born.
Yeah.
Somebody said, well, it won't last long. If the Arabs had had their way, it wouldn't have lasted long. But look what has happened. Look what has happened. Why did it happen now? Because it's the end of the age. And I'm going to close. I'm not through, but I'm going to close this subject by reading from Luke 21 and verse 24. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations. Don't tell me you don't believe that, because it's there. Had a map of the world, we could blindfold you and let you go down and put your finger on the world. There's not a metropolitan area on this old globe of ours that doesn't have some of the scattered sons of Israel in it. God said that that's what would happen. Then he said, and Jerusalem, listen to this. Listen to this. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down by the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Did that register? And then we hear the minister of defense and the general of the little Israeli army say, we have returned to Jerusalem to depart no more. That means the Gentiles will have no other
who said this?
Jesus said.
Yes.
Jerusalem will be trodden down by the Gentiles until the time of the Gentile people is. Wait until the smoke dies away around the council table. And Israel has convinced the world that Jerusalem is in their possession. You know one of the things they're going to do? They're going to start evacuating on Mount Moriah. They have a treasure already of $300 million to restore the Temple of Solomon and all of its glory. Watch and see the headlines if the Lord permits you to live. And you won't have to live too long until you'll find that the old temple at Jerusalem is being times of the Gentiles is what? It's the church age, or it's the church. It's the day of grace.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You know, saints of God, if you believe this, let's rebuke the spirit of defeatism and make a dedication to God.
Yes.
We're going to stand by regardless. Oh, yes. I know that there's a little bit of picture to it. There is a man in our country that talks a whole lot about the Great Society. Maybe he doesn't call his name. But he's talking about the Great Society. But do you know what our people are thinking about? They're thinking more about the security, social security. They're thinking about the retirement. Brother, how is it with your soul? How is it with your spiritual life? We have some real are you ready for what tomorrow will unfold? Today is the day of salvation.
Yes.
Doors may be closed tomorrow. I could say so many more things. I couldn't get through them. I'm going to ask you to stand.
Thank you.
And if I may, Brother Williams, you know, I'd like to tell one who feels that God wants to do something in your life. And you want God to do something in your life. We'll put it that way. You want God to do something in your life. I'd like for us just to come and stand around the altar.
Hallelujah.
Let's just stand around the altar.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Mighty God. Mighty God.
Come on and stand around the altar.
Hallelujah, my Lord.
Oh.
My Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
If we want God to do something, surely it's thy will, O God.
Thy will. Lord.
I don't want to put words in your mouth tonight because I don't know what you feel in your heart. But we'd like, as we join together in prayers, will you just pour your heart out to God? Let us consider ourselves in the throne room of God.
Grant it, Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah!
Glory,
oh, Lord, in Jesus'
name.
Oh, God, stir your people, oh God.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Oh, God, give us victory, oh God.
Us as we leave this place and our fellowship together tonight. Stir our souls until we meet again tomorrow night. Any spirit of defeatism that you find in our hearts, Lord, oh, sweep over it with thy spirit that we may claim victory in the name of the Lord. Amen. Make us, Lord, an ambassador for thee. Oh God, even the children, speak to them. Bring others out to hear thy word. Help us to be willing to make any kind of sacrifice, Lord, to be present in thy name. Glory to God, to study and search thy word together. We'll be careful to praise your name.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Praise
hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen. Brother William.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You love him?
Yes.
Amen. You love him? I just put a few words and we'll be dismissed. I felt that it's surely a timely message. I was so glad to hear Brother Onstead mention about rebuilding of the temple. I was in the barber shop at the time that I read the newspaper, and I went to one of the instructors, he goes to Sunday school and all. I thought he might know. And I said, was the temple under the possession of Jordan? When it mentioned the wailing wall, and I knew it was a part of the temple. I didn't know if they had ever had possession of it or not. But I knew that if it had been in captivity and had been, in other words, to the Jordanaires, that section, that it was a wonderful move in prophecy.
Yes,
and
yes.
That it had to be rebuilt and they would never be appeased till they had that ground. And I wanted to leave the shop to search for, to find. And I just felt like shouting. If I ever felt like shouting, yeah. magnifying God. I told the instructor, I said, my, if this is so, God is really doing something.
Yes.
Amen. It's an event to remember.
Yes.
Amen. And it was first time, I believe, in how many years that they had prayed at this Wailing Wall, and I believe all the armies stopped there as they passed, and they prayed before this wall as a tradition as they passed by. Hallelujah. You feel the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You feel the door opening. Amen. Jesus, we might as well forget houses and land. Amen. Look up to that that's forever. That's eternal. Can we say amen? If our hearts are on these things, we better reach up just a little higher. And truly, I have to confess, defeatism has been my greatest, shoulder companion. And God knows that this is ever now that we need to be inspired and reach up. Take our place in God. It's now. Can we say amen? It's now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, just lift up your hands, praise Him, and you're dismissed. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah. Yea, mighty God, we magnify thee. Word to thee we come.
Hallelujah.
Stir us, my God.
Hallelujah.
The shadows of time. Oh, God, that we might ever see thee. All that thou hast performed in the greatness of thy power. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, bless all. Thank you, my Lord. Thank you, my Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shake hands. Be friendly and come tomorrow night expecting God to move in a mighty way. Amen. Don't forget your pencil and paper, Brother Andre.
Yeah, something else you're going to say.
Bring somebody with you tomorrow night.
Amen.
Let's fill up these benches here in the middle.
Hallelujah.